Hello there. Welcome to today's podcast with Pastor Bless Donkor. I hope you'll be blessed. Stay tuned.
As our custom is, let's read our anchor scriptures, Matthew chapter 18, verse 18 to 20. Verily I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever ye shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Can we continue? Again, I say unto you that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in not heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. If we are using hard copy Bible, take note. In my name. Second reading, Acts chapter 16, verse 25 and then 26. Acts chapter 16, verse 25 and 26. Are we there? Acts chapter 16, verse 25 to 26. Okay, let's read. At midnight, Paul and Silas prayed. Somebody say prayed. And sang praises unto God. And the prisoners heard them. When we start looking at the kinds of prayers, you will find out that praises and worship is a kind of prayer. But you'll get there. So there is still, and the Bible says, and suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison, so the earthquake was start getting something. The foundations of the prison were what? Shaken. And immediately, can you just find it now? When the foundations of the prison were shaken, immediately all the doors were open. And everyone's bands were loosed. Corporate prayer. Last reading. We are all going to read together. Very popular scripture. I believe most of us know it. Amos chapter 3, verse 3. We are all reading together. As usual, we are all reading together. Are we there? Amos chapter 3, verse 3. Can two walk together except they be together? Let's take it again. Are you having an issue with me today? I can't hear you. Let's take it again. Hallelujah. Thank God. Now I can feel your presence. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for this morning. As your word come with power and might, we pray that it will have residence in our hearts. I submit myself under the anointing. I pray that I will minister under the anointing and bless your people. In Jesus' name, amen. Today, we are examining the topic, Protocols of Corporate Prayer. Protocols of Corporate Prayer. And this is under the new theme, When I Pray or the Church Prays. And I told you that this new sub-series we are looking at, we are targeting some key realities of prayer. That's some ideologies that we have had about prayer that is not able to help us to be able to be effective in prayer. And you know that the whole thing is that we are out learning to pray. Teach us to pray. So you should understand what we are doing here. Actually, what we are doing this year is knowledge based and also practical based. What I'm trying to, we are trying to achieve is that by the end of this year, whenever you say you are praying based on knowledge. You see, when you used to do something, okay, and you further learn the knowledge of how that thing is done. Do you know that there's a difference between how you do it when you didn't have knowledge about it and how you do it when you have knowledge about it? Hallelujah. Amen. You know that normally, okay, as an African child, especially as a young lady, learn to cook whether you have been taught or not. How many of us, you remember, those of you, you see, most of you are East Lagos children, so you don't know. But those of us who grew in the village, we used to gather konko. Have you been in that generation before? Hallelujah. So you see, at that, you see, our natural instinct begins to. So the guys will be doing the guys' things, and the ladies will be doing their ladies' things. So you see that one of the common things that the ladies will do is that you see them engaging in what? An act of what? Cooking. So right there, you see that they have toys that they'll put at their back. So you see the guys we are involved in, all the guys you normally, either there's a tug of war or football or some kind of chase. Means that the lizard in that area, we have killed all of them. It got to a time that we couldn't even find lizards around, though, because we were going to operation hunt them down. Oh, childhood is sweet. Hallelujah. Ah, God. Scam. Adulthood is a great scam. We have been scammed. You see, you want to be an adult, eh? It's a great scam. We have been scammed. Because you wake up, you have nothing to worry about. You have only one agenda. That there's a lizard you have to hunt down at all costs. So we buy catapults. Oh, goodness God. And we take joy in hunting them. But, you see, when you find somebody who learned how to cook as a result of going through a professional training, a caterer, you can see the difference between the quality of what they deliver before they learn that skill set. Are you with me? Are you with me? Are you following? So what we want to achieve this year is that we pray. Everybody prays. But at the end of this year, we want to see that there is an enhancement, there is some quality control in the deliveries of our prayer. In other words, the impact that your prayer used to make before this series, after this series, there must be a shift. There must be some quantum of impact that all can see that now you are not only praying because you have the knowledge. No, you just feel like praying. But you are praying because you have been trained. You have the knowledge. You have the requisite skill to deliver what prayer can deliver. Are you with me? Are you with me? So that is what we are targeting this year. And I know that God will take us the hallelujah. God will take us the hallelujah. So in our course, we are still on the preparatory stage. And today, we want to look at protocols of corporate prayer. Last week, we found out that anytime we want to engage in prayer, it is either we are doing it ourselves alone, or we do it with what? Others. Are you with me? So prayer is either individualistic or in corporate what? Gathering. These are the only two ways we pray. Are you with me? Are you with me? Okay, good. So now, we want to see that, is corporate prayer the same as praying individually? No, last week we found out that they are not the same. Corporate prayer has its own dimensions of operation, and then individual prayers have its own what, dimensions of what? Operation. Are you following? So, what was the things that we looked at last week? We established at least five so importance that corporate prayer offers us. Can you help me with the first one? How do we say it? What's the first one? Yes. Church, what is the first expression or what the first benefit we derive from corporate prayer? Yes. The first thing I mentioned. Is it? So the church as a body is able to what? Express dominion through what? Corporate prayers. And I told that the church, God, treat us individually in the principle of dominion and also as what? A unit, as one body called the church. As what? A unit of dominion. So the church, he said, I shall build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. So the church together as a unit function expresses dominion. How is it done? Through corporate prayers. Number two, what dimension? Yes. Corporate prayer generates corporate what? Anointing. And what does that corporate anointing do? For what? Divine emergency what? So if you want to dial emergency number of heaven, the fastest way to do that is through corporate what? Prayers. What else? You people, you are good students. You are good students. Clap for yourself. We have done well. We have done well. Clap for yourself. You are following. Now I can see that you are following, but you have to follow more. Hallelujah. So we did that. We examined what only corporate prayer can give us. We did a lot about that, but today we want to look at protocols in observing corporate prayer. Now let's explain the word protocol. Protocol is a set of rules or guidelines that defines how communication or interactions should take place in a specific context. So when we say that protocol simply means rules, guidelines, how you are being guided to make sure that in a particular context, within a particular jurisdiction, communication is what? Effective. So, communication cannot be generalized. Effectiveness of communication cannot be generalized in every context. In other words, to be effective in communicating as a politician, there are certain guidelines you have to observe. And that is different from the way a pastor will communicate. Do you agree with me? Politicians can say anything as long as they'll get your vote. Pastors cannot say anything. Are you following? There are codes of conduct. There are guidelines. The pastor cannot just get up and say anything. Are you with me? But politician, as long as it will get him the vote. Are you there? So when we talk of protocols, what are the guidelines? What guides that context of communication? That's what we want to look at here right now. Therefore, it means that when you don't observe the protocols of how certain things are done, you cannot be effective in them and you cannot be efficient in them. You see, today, I want you to leave this place, and when you go back, anytime you find yourself engaged in corporate prayers, anytime you find yourself engaged praying together with people, you will do it not wasting your time and your energy. A lot of things has been going on in the church that, see, if we really, have taken advantage of what corporate prayer can do, the church will not be in the state it is now. I'm telling you, and today you're going to know. Why is it that we gather a lot? Because almost every single day, a particular church is somewhere, more than 2-3 people meeting, and they are praying. And still, what prayer used to do in the days of our fathers, in the early church, we do not see that in our generation. What is causing it? The underlying principle is that they knew the guidelines to which they cannot exploit corporate prayers. We don't know it. Or even if we know it, we don't practice it. So people, and you remember the reasons why we ought to pray. We do understand. The underlying principle is dominion. So you see that the church prays a lot, but there's no dominion. When COVID came, they didn't treat us as an emergency service. In fact, they had no respect for prayer. If not, they will not stop church gatherings. Are you with me? So today, won't you? Okay. Now, I have 4 general guidelines or principles that needs to be observed if we want to be effective in corporate prayer. Get it right. I'm not talking about that if this is not, I said if effective. I hope you understand the word effective and efficient. So when we come like this together as a church and we want to pray, if that grace upon corporate gathering, we want to get the fullness of it, then there are certain guidelines we must observe. And if we observe them, we will see the full manifestations of it. Now, these things I'm going to talk about, numbers do not affect them. If I may put it to you, if 2 people can observe the principles of corporate prayer, the protocols of corporate prayer, they can make so much impact than 10,000 people who don't observe it. In as much as numbers is important in corporate gardening, the protocols are higher than numbers. Are you with me? So, multitude does not mean impact. I don't know if you get my point. What is the population of Ghana in terms of Christianity? Yes, according to statistics currently. What is our population? If nothing at all, now we are averaging 70%. 75% of the Ghanaian population is considered or have identified themselves that they are Christians.
In other words, anything concerning Christianity they practice, including prayer. Now tell me, what is the state of our country? This tells you that multitude has not made impact. It is the rules that you observe, the discipline that is being not observed, that determines the impact. So when we talk about corporate prayers, don't think that the more the people, that no, it's not true. Even though numbers can be an advantage, but it is subjected to the rules and guidelines of what corporate prayer. So before you think about numbers, think about the protocols. I would prefer to pray with three people who are ready to submit to the guidelines of corporate prayer than to pray with 10 people. That is why you see that some of us, when it comes to prayer meeting, we are not so much... You see why we are not so much to be loud about prayer's night? Not that we don't want the numbers. Numbers are good. But the question is that, are the numbers coming to add to the efficiency of the work? Or they are just coming to... There's a saying in Akan. Okanwa. Entosi. Ufimunswa. Enseshe. That is how the church is now. You can go to a big church. Are you following me? I'll come there. You can go to a big church and you realize that the people who are carrying the church in terms of spiritual impact are like 10 people. But the church can have a membership of about 2,000. If you think I'm lying, check their prayer meetings. The strength of the church is measured at prayer meeting and Bible studies. The rest are adapts. The rest are adapts. Are you with me? So I want you to really follow what we are going to do today. Because this is where we benefit fully from corporate prayers. This is where we benefit fully from it. Principle number one. The principle of in his name. In his name is a key factor in corporate prayer. When you undermine this principle of corporate prayer, in fact, there is no need to even call for a corporate prayer. Now, what is this principle I'm talking about? In the book of Luke chapter 18 verse 20, can we read? Sorry, Matthew 18, 20. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of what? Them. Where two or three are gathered in my name, there am I in the midst of them. Now I want to help you to understand that the functions of name in the spirit realm is not about nomenclature. Do you know nomenclature? I believe most of you know nomenclature because at least something we did in our biology, integrated science, the system by which things are being not named or identified. Now, when you come to the things of the spirit, names are not for the purpose of what? Nomenclature. Follow me. That's why I understand this principle. Names are big deals in the spirit realm, such that your name is not different from you as far as the spirit realm is concerned. So in the spirit realm, your name is you. It is not to differentiate you. No, it's not like, okay, this one is called Kwesi, so we know that this one is Kwesi and this one. No. Your name is you. Everything you is your name. That's how dangerous it is. Therefore, whatever your name is, you are, and you cannot live beyond or different from what you are called unless it is changed or the power behind it is broken. Whatever your name is, you cannot live beyond or different from it unless that name is changed or the power behind that name is broken. Do you know a typical example? Do you know why God changed the name of Abraham? Abraham to Abraham. Because the name that was on him called Abraham means exalted father. Other words, potential father. So the name do not emphasize that he's a father. He's potential father. Do you know potential fathers? And The name of the wife was Sarai, which also means what? Exalted what? Mother. The Bible said, God said, I change your name from Abraham to Abraham, which means what? Father of what? Many nations. Because as long as you are potential, the potential remain. Until you, the reality is that you are father, not potential. Are you with me? So the potential was trying to say that, okay, he has what it takes, but he has not gotten it yet. But God said, no, you have it. You are a father of what? Many nations. That is who you are. So if we don't call you who you are, it cannot manifest. So God has to touch him. Remember the gentleman called Jacob? What was the blessing that the angel of the Lord blessed him? It was a change of name. And the name is that you are what? Israel. Which means that you have contended with God and man, and you have what? Do you know why no nation can defeat Israel? It's because of the name. Names are not nomenclatures in the spirit realm. Names are so powerful that just because they call them Israel, which means that you have contended with man and God, and you have prevailed, no man has stood before them. Even till now, as small as they is, when they shake themselves, the whole world, we are in trouble. Now, what they are doing right now has put the whole world on what? Its edge. If it is not God, if it is not name, how can you live among your enemies, surrounded by your enemies, and you still survive? Do you know that Israel is the least country among all the countries that surround it in terms of population? And yes, they dared not touch them. Name. Name are such power for that, number one. You can receive people in the name of others. Matthew chapter 18, verse 5. Do you know that as simple as I stand right now, if the president of Ghana calls me and asks me to go at a fasting for him, even though you know me as blessed, when I'm coming to that fasting, you can't receive me as blessed. Are you with me? Are you with me? Good. Even though you know me as blessed, you can't receive me as blessed. Because as at that time, I'm not coming in my name. And whoso shall receive one such little child in my name, receiveth what? Me. That's the power of name. Jesus said, if my disciples, the people I have sent, they come to you and you receive them, you have not received them, you've received me. It's a powerful thing. So anytime you receive, do not understand, receive, acceptance. You open up. You receive a man God has sent to you. You have not received man. That is why people can bless. Do you know why the house of Potiphar was blessed? The house of Potiphar was blessed because they didn't receive Joseph. They received God. That young man was sent in the name of God. He said to his brothers that you meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. And he sent me ahead. So because it was God who sent him ahead for a purpose to be accomplished, when the young man got there, when Potiphar received him, he got blessed. Do you know why? It's not because of Joseph. That is the power of name. As I stand here, if you receive me, you have not received. When the barren woman received Elijah, he thought he received a prophet. But he didn't know he received God in his house. I pray for you. As we stand here, we minister to you every day. May it not be that it's pastor who is preaching to you, but know that you are receiving God. It is God who is speaking to you. That's why when you open up and I speak a word into your life, it happens. It's because you didn't receive me. You receive God. Any little ones you receive them. In my name. That's how powerful names are. We are still talking about the principle number one. I'm explaining the concept of name. In his name. So Jesus said that when somebody, that's why you have to be very careful how you treat men of God. Or you treat people of God. People, children of God. Do you know why America is so blessed? When the issue of the, is it the Nazis, right? They went after the Jewish people and started killing them. America was the country that received the Jewish people. And because of that, God said to Abraham, for whoever blesses you, I will bless. And whoever curses you, I will curse. Whoever receives you, check the life of the people of Israel. Whoever receives them get blessed. Check. There's this story that I've read about, is it this prayer ministry at Kumasi, Mokpa. The brother is Angel, the one who owned the Angel group of companies, right? Kesman groups of companies, God. The story is that their grandmother was a recipient of missionaries, the Methodist missionaries, those days when they come. And that in the, when they come, she will receive them, feed them. And these missionaries will pray for his children and declare that what you are seeing working in the life of these people is because I pray for you that you will receive God by receiving men. Amen. So don't take names lightly. Number two, names are so powerful that they are used as a means of transacting business. Matthew chapter 19, verse 29. Names. Do you know that I can come in the name? Have you ever gone to take something in the name of your father before and they gave it to you? Your father should have a powerful name. Do you know that if the daughter of Nanado walked to any shop, the true daughter of Nanado, they may not even use Nanado, despite, walks to any shop in Ghana here and said that, my father said I should pick anything in this shop. Do you think they'll ask her for evidence? Names can be used to transact business. That's why the Bible said a good name is better than what? Riches. That's how powerful names are. It's better than riches. It means that, see, sometimes you don't need money. Somebody's name. Have I said this story here before that one of my niece went and messed up and she and the guy who they were together were arrested because of whatever happened. And when they asked her who the father was, she didn't mention the biological father. She mentioned the big father. Do you know why? Because my elder brother, the eldest brother, is a very popular person and well respected in the community. She was very smart. She knew that if I mention my father's name, nobody will recognize, so I will pay the penalty. And do you know the funny thing? The moment she mentioned my big brother's name, they called my big brother. Do you know this? Said, we have your daughter in our custody. Said, which of my daughters? So they started discovering, said, that's my niece. And she was released. You see, you don't know names that you can transact business with. How powerful names are. She was smart. Listen to what Jesus said. And everyone that had forsaken houses, listen, or brethren, or sisters, or father, or mother, or wife, or children, or lands, for my name's sake, what's happened? Shall receive an hundredfold and shall inherit everlasting life. This transaction. And this was Peter who initiated this communication. The guy is business oriented. You see, he owns ships. He has been doing business for long. And he knows that for any investment, there must be profit. So when he wakes up in the morning and goes on the sea, when Jesus asks him, what did you guys say? We have labored the whole night. We've toiled and nothing. Because the man believed in what? Investment. So one day he called Jesus and said, young man, do you know Peter is older than Jesus though? So that's why he can talk to my. He can talk to Jesus. Because, yes. He said, young man, we believe in the grace upon your life, but you have to settle this matter. What is the profit of we leaving everything to follow you? Because we left our sheep and we are following you. Today you have to tell us because we cannot throw our lives away like that. And Jesus said, my name is enough for a transaction. Whatever you do for my name's sake, know that the transaction is that hundredfold shall come back to you. Do you know why sometimes we pray to God and when we mention the name Jesus, things happen? It's because that name is a transactional. We cash on it. Whatever you invest for his name's sake, that's what I'm going to explain it. That's why I said the principle of his name. Whatever you invest for his name's sake, by this rule, must come back in hundredfold. Number one. Number two, everlasting life is guaranteed. This is the difference between serving God and serving the interests of the secular world. The secular world can give you back financial or earthly blessing, but they can't give you everlasting life. The only advantage we have is that when we give our life to God, when we invest our resources into the things of God, we get two dimensions of blessing: time blessing and eternity blessing. So names are so powerful that names are transactional. Name can be transactional. That's why I said that the son or daughter of Despite can walk to a shop as long as she confirmed and proved that she's the son or daughter of Despite, and she will cash out on anything she wants because they know that the father is capable. I pray for you. You see, the reason why you are not committing to the things of God, because you don't know that you can use the name of God to cash out. People don't know. Yes. Go and ask fathers like Archbishop Ajinasari why they left their professions to serve God. Have their life turned out well? David said, I've not seen a man, neither does the children of that man, who belongs to God, who has given up to God, that they beg or they lack bread. See, God has an integrity. And anything that is done for his name's sake, he can't lie. He's not an author of lies. I pray for you. Whatever you have invested over these years, you know, every investment has its due time. The Bible said in his own time, he makes all things beautiful. I pray for you. The times you have invested in the things of God, the monies you have invested, I pray that at the time of reaping, the Bible said, for the sowers are sown in tears, but the day will come that they will reap in joy. I declare in the name of Jesus, whatever you have given for the sake of the kingdom of God and for the sake of the name of Jesus, at the time of reaping, let it come in hundredfold in the name of Jesus. Some people think that you are wasting your time. A time will come that they'll find out that whilst they are busy sitting down learning and you are committing some of your time to the kingdom business, that is what's going to speak for you. Salvation of Cornelius was born on this principle of transaction. Names are so powerful. Number three, that a corporate gathering can be turned in a name. Do you know that we can call for a meeting in the name of somebody? Oh, you don't know? Okay. So, do you know that the executive council, okay, let me come down to the regional level. You know, the regional minister can call for a meeting in the name of the president. The president might not be there, but you will come. I have not seen some before. Those of you who have served in leadership on campus, you know that you can receive a letter that is signed by VC, but VC will not be at that meeting. A meeting can be conveyed in the name of somebody. You know what it means? That meeting is under the authority of that person. That is where today we want to examine. The other two are different principles, but I decided to bring them. But a gathering can be conveyed in the name of somebody. So the question is, how do we know? Follow me. Are you with me? At what point do a gathering constitute a gathering in the name of Jesus? It's very important. At what point can we say that this gathering is done in the name of Jesus? Are you with me? Yeah. Actually, there are four things we are going to look at, but I can't finish all because of time factor. So we're going to look at two today. Then we believe God for grace to do the rest. Hallelujah. See, there is this idea that we have lived with concerning gatherings that we consider that they have been done in the name of God, including prayer gatherings. Some of these ideas are, number one, whenever the name of God or Jesus is mentioned in a gathering, we believe that that gathering is done in his name. Number one, that idea is false, and I'm going to prove it to you. Can we read the book of Philippians chapter 2 verse 20? The fact that the name of Jesus is mentioned there does not guarantee that he is there. Or it is a meeting approved by him. You go for said gatherings and he's not there. See, he said that wherever two or more gathered in my name, there I am. So the underlying principle is that if you gather in the name of God, we expect him to be there. Jesus will show up. Is it when we mention his name at a corporate gathering that he show up? Is that it? No, let's look at it. Philippians chapter 2, is it verse 10? Hey, sorry. Philippians 2:10.
do them.
What the Bible said, at the name of what?
Jesus.
Most of you think, see, the one who sang the song, at the mention of his name, the person, I don't know what he was trying to communicate, but that is not what the scripture said. Let's read what the scripture said. It said, at the name of Jesus, at the name. Not at the mention of something, at the name. Take note. The word at the name over here means that on the leverage, on the authority of the name. Not that I mention. So if I act in the authority of that name, knees will bow. So it is not every gathering. Listen to me. Okay, I'm going to give an example in the Bible. Very funny example. We are all going to laugh right now. That some people think that if they mention the name of Jesus, it constitutes that you come in their midst. Because when he comes, you know that everywhere he went, he was doing good. He will manifest, right? So they thought that when they mention the name of Jesus, at the mention of name, see, don't go to gatherings because they are mentioning the name of Jesus there. He is not there. I'm going to show you how to know that where God is in the midst. You're going to know. Let's read that funny scripture. Acts chapter 19, verse 13 to 15. So whenever we constitute a gathering, the protocol of what? Corporate prayers. Whenever we constitute a gathering in the name that we want to do something corporate about prayer, that we believe that Jesus will be there, it is not because we mention his name over there. We must clear that idea. Then there's, the Bible is, let's read. Then certain of the vagabond Jews, exhausted, took upon themselves to call over them which had evil spirits, the name of who? Check together. The name of who? The Lord. Saying, we adjure you by Jesus, whom Paul would preach. Continue. You will see what happened. And there were seven sons. So it was not the sons of Sceva who started it. It was something that some of the Jews started practicing. Because you know what the funny thing is? The people saw that the name was very powerful. Peter and this squad mentioned this name and things are happening. They are losing relevance. So they have to buy back their relevance. So if this is what the trend is, let us all join the trend. This is how fetish priests put down their fetish cloak and put on pastoral cloak. Because they found out the people are no more interested in what coming to them. The trend is that when Jesus' name is mentioned, they will be there. So now we all will mention the name of Jesus, but that name, we know what we are doing behind. So the Bible called them the vagabondists. They were vagabond people. Exhaustionists. We've read other versions. The description is, that's why I don't want to go there. The other versions, they gave a word names for them. So the Bible said there was one high priest. His sons of Sceva. When they saw the other people practice, okay, we can all join. Let's see what happened. And there were seven sons of one of Sceva, a Jew, and a chief of the priest who did so. Now let's see what happened. Do you know seven is, now it's a corporate gathering, right? It's not a corporate gathering. So this seven, okay. And the evil spirit answered, yeah, did he say, yeah? And said, Jesus, I know. Yes, the name you mentioned, I know. And the person who you are referring to that mentioned that name, Paul, I know. But who are you? I hope you read you go and read the preceding verses. That is not my interest. The Bible said they themselves were the ones who were delivered. The evil spirit conducted deliverance for them. I pray for you. You see, there have been some spiritual casualties because of this. People think that because the name of Jesus can be mentioned at any corporate gathering, they go there and they think that they can just mention the name. And there have been spiritual casualties. Demons have been delivering people. The Bible said they receive the beatings of their life. I pray for you. See, we have to come out of that idea. A corporate gathering that we can call that it is a gathering where Jesus is in their midst, especially when it comes to prayer gathering, is the one, it's not the one where the name of Jesus is only mentioned. Do you know when you go for entertainment, you do opening prayer before you start playing sarkodi? Don't you do that? Is Jesus there? I'm robbers, even thank God that their operations were hot. Halavusataka. So you see that you see how we have been deceived. That the name of Jesus has been mentioned there. So, see, people know that that is the truth. You see, the name of Jesus is precious. It's a good commodity for transaction. So as long as it will get them their result, they'll mention it. So watch out. Not every prayer gathering that you go and they are praying in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, that means that he's in their midst. No. Number two, are you being blessed? Power display. People think that when power is displayed at a gathering, and no, the name of Jesus will mention and power will be displayed, it's a confirmation that Jesus is there. You are lying, you know. Not all gatherings that power is being displayed constitute the corporate gathering where Jesus can appear, where Jesus appears. No. Matthew chapter 24, verse 23. Matthew 24, verse 23 to 24. You know, we go for prayer meetings. Are you with me? Then when we get there, we see that hands are being laid on people. People fall under the anointing. Things are happening. And a lot of power is being displayed. Then we say, God is here. No. It's not a proof. These are secondary. How to test. These are not part of the things you use to test it. These are effects. It can be an effect of Jesus being there. But it's not a proof that he's there. Other people can do it. And you know that the devil can do anything supernatural. Do you know that? Because it's a supernatural being. Are you there? Matthew 24, 23. Then Jesus himself talking. Then if any man shall say unto you, lo, here is Christ, or there, believe it what? Not. Verse 24. Listen to what he said. For they shall arise false Christ and what? False prophets, and they shall show what? Great signs and what? Wonders, in so much that if it were possible, the target is what? They shall deceive the very elect. Power does not make people think. Display of power. So you see a gathering called a Christian gathering, they are praying and the power is displayed and you think that Jesus is there. No, it's not a proof. Am I helping you? We are still examining what constitute, what can we stand on to say that this is a corporate what? Gathering. Number three, people were blessed. This is a dangerous one. When I found out about this, I got scared. That a corporate gathering, people can be blessed, but God is not in their midst. Do you believe it? You don't believe it? You don't believe it? I'm preaching. Be careful. So, he said they don't believe it. You will prove it. The fact that people were blessed does not constitute, does not prove. I said some things are effect, but not what? The test. For anything supernatural, the devil too can what? Do it. Until God resists him, he can do it. Have you forgotten that when the rod of Moses turned to snake, the magicians also did the same. Until God started resisting them and said, this now God has taken over. Anything supernatural, the devil can do it. So, visa, the devil can give you visa. It's simple for him. What else? What are some of the blessings you know? Yes, help me. Is he healing? He can heal you. His healing is very simple. He will exchange. So if you came with headache, he'll take headache and give you stomach pain. You will go and come back. Oh, that's how he does it. So how will you come back again to him? No. The devil does not grant. The devil cannot guarantee wholeness. He guarantees healing. So he can even take away the affliction for some few minutes, or some few months, or some few years. Then you restore it again. Then you come back. If you said, "I'm like going to ask fetish priest," they'll tell you, "I am a grandson of a fetish priest. I know what they do." So the devil can heal you, but the healing is he will take away, so that you come again. Now, how will he get money if he doesn't? Exodus chapter 33, verse 1. Exodus chapter 33, verse 1 to 4. Okay. And the Lord said to Moses, let's read. Depart. Kojo, you're welcome. Depart, go up hence, thou and the people which thou hast brought up out of the land of what? Egypt. unto the land which I swear unto Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, saying, unto thee, unto thy seed, I will give it. Follow me. God said they should go.
Uh-huh.
I will send an angel before thee, and I will drive out the Canaanite, the Amorite, and the Hittite, and the Perizzite, and the Hevite, and the Jebusite. All the sites will be driven away in the name of Jesus. They are all sites, so you will get them out. Listen, he said, unto a land what? Flowing with milk and what? Honey. For I will not go up in the midst of thee. Jesus. For thou art a stiff-necked people, lest I consume thee in the way. So God said, as for blessing, I will not deny you, but me, I will not be there. So the blessing of God can be at a place, but he's not there. And when the people heard this, how did they call it? They call it what? Evil. Today, we would have said it's a good news. Ah, you deal with my enemies. You give me my possession. A land flowing with milk and honey. If God said you will not go with you to America, but you make sure that you get your visa, you get everything in America, you take it. Father, thank you. Don't worry. Don't worry, Lord. Don't worry. When we get there, and you've even added an angel. It's okay. Lord, God, you have other business to take care of. My matter, don't need to bother you. As long as you have cleared the path for me, you have given me. Are you with me? Oh, hallelujah. Amen. Okay, let me change the message. They don't like it. Pastor is not saying what they want. So now I've confused you. Because most of the prayer meeting you go for, you see these things happening. Oh, Pastor, there's a miracle here. I've gotten the visa. I'm not saying it's a bad thing, though. The question is, that visa? Is it part of the visa? God said, I'll give you the blessing. But myself. Now, even the killer thing is that the angel of the Lord is part of them. But he got, and the people called it evil tidings. Do you choose the presence of God or you choose blessing? Let me ask you. Do you want the fish or you want the fisherman in your house? So the fact that people are blessed is not a guarantee that God is there. So not all prayer. See, the fact that you go for a prayer gathering and corporate prayer gathering and you are seeing people blessed is not a proof, sir. I'm going to show you what shows that Jesus is there. And we have to always gather in his name. That is where we are safe. In his name, we are safe. So a corporate prayer that can be efficient and effective is done in his name. So now, I can see you're eager to know. So Pastor, now what's our fate? I'll help you. Hallelujah. I can't leave you like that. The gatherings that Jesus shows up, the gatherings that Jesus called that his gatherings are number one, the gathering that is done according to his will. Ah, Jesus. Not your will. I said his what? His will. So anything that is asked in my name, I'll read, but it must be asked according to my will. So in the teachings of the model of prayer, Jesus said that thy will be done. What is the will of God? Three things. Number one, the will of God is his desire, not your desire. That prayer meeting you have gathered to pray, what desire is motivating that prayer meeting? Is it in line with God's desire? Number two, his purpose. The purposes of God. Number three, the counsel of God. If you want to know the will of God, it is in these three things. The only time Jesus will show up in the midst of people is because that gathering is to meet his desire. That gathering is meeting his purpose. That gathering is meeting his counsel. It is in that gathering we can say that, yes. So be very careful of a prayer meeting you go that prayer is organized without not on scriptures. Sometimes when you listen to the prayer topics, you know that Jesus will not appear. Oh, that is why some of you see what? This kind of revelation, when I caught it in the university, hardly do I go for programs. Because I don't want to go and waste my time. Because when you hear some of them, when you see the flyer of the program, you see the people on it, you know, Jesus will never show up. This program will not. Jesus will never show up. I hope I'm not offending anybody here. Truth is truth. That's awful. That is the difference between us. So you see that this church generation, we are like God. The Laodicea church, we are blessed, but yet we are poor. Because we know how to use God to attain our desires. But God cannot use us to attain his desire. So we are rich in materials, but we are not rich in authority and power. So nobody respect the church. I'm serious. I said, there are some prayer gardens. When you go, when you hear the prayer topic, I told my wife, there was a particular man, I think I shared this with you. There was a particular man who came to campus UCC. I went to the program. When I entered, first 5 minutes, I packed and left. I knew that Jesus will not come. He will not come. And when we continue with other protocols, you understand why I did that. But I pray for you. Anytime you want to gather and pray, make sure it is because of his desire. Make sure it's because of his desire. There is a desire of God in heaven. He wished to see it manifesting on the earth realm. He said, I have a desire. I have a desire. Anytime Jesus sees that men have captured his desire in the wheel of prayer, he comes down. And that is where the revival is being born from. When the purposes of God are captured in a garden, this is how Azusa Street took off. Men who have been able to shake their generation and generation that came together and turned things outside and were people who prayed God's will. They prayed his desire through. They prayed his purposes. And sometimes the desires of God will manifest as material blessings. Yes, the blessings of God is captured in his desire for you. Have you not read that? I desire. I wish above all things that you may what? Are you not with me? He said, I wish above all things that you may what? Prosper. The purposes of God, to what extent? No prayer meeting now is about, I want to see you, Lord. I want to know you. How many times we gather together to pray as a church, as individuals, as group, and the prayer is that, Lord, let me know you. Use me for your purpose. Go and listen to the prayer topics of the ancient people and listen to our prayer topics and you see the vast difference. I said, some of you have to stop going for certain gatherings. Jesus will not show up. Whatever you carry over there, you carry go back, pass it, Jesus, no. Now, let me show when Jesus shows up. When God shows up in a gathering, what is born out of that gathering is the convictions of the heart. People do not go back to their old life again. Sometimes when I go for certain Christian programs, or I see, people will go there and come back, and they are even worse off than what they were. Jesus didn't show up. You see, anybody who met Jesus, yeah? Oh, are you with me? Anybody who met Jesus could not continue in their life again. If you said, I'm like, ask the woman at the well. Ask Paul when he was so. The Bible said, when the lightning took him off from his horse and he fell, and he said, I am Jesus, the one you persecute. Paul never went back in persecuting Christians. He persecuted the devil himself. When the two men on the road of Emmaus were with him and their eyes were opened and they saw Jesus, they didn't remember. You see, when what shows that Jesus, I said, when Jesus is there, the people don't go back the same. It is not the blessings and the fallen that anointing I'm looking for. I'm looking at what was the aftermath of their life. That is why we know that gathering. So a church where Jesus is present there, give the people some time, you will see a change. The things I used to do, I do them no more. The things I used to do, I do them no more. The things I used to do, I do them no more. It is a great change since I met. So if Jesus said, where two or more are gathered in my name, in that corporate prayer, in that midst, I am there. This is what we look for. This is the test. Go back to camp back from prayer meetings, worship gatherings, and still fornicate. Sometimes they carry their girlfriends even from that worship gathering straight to the house. Now, because of where God is taking us, I've reserved some comments. A gathering that Jesus will show up, number two, they are only two, is that it is spread within the scope of authority allocated. child of God and the authority, it's very important to bring Jesus down. You see, don't be an exuberant Christian who will tackle what it's not within your scope of authority. So for sometimes when you meet these young brothers of mine and they are praying, you hear some of the prayer topics they are praying, you know that this one, Jesus will not mind them. He will not show up. It's beyond your authority, your scope of authority. You have not been able to pray to affect your family. You are trying to take over Ghana. I'm not saying it's wrong. Do you see? Authority is progressive. When you become born again, the first authority you have is over your body. Have you taken authority of that place? Have you been able to pray? Your corporate prayer guidance, have you been able to pray that the encounter you have now, you have authority, that authority you have been able to exert over yourself? From that place, your family, to what extent? You see why we are not being effective in prayer? Oh, are you with me? So we pray, we take over Ghana, but we are seeing a little effect. Do you know why? Because we are working beyond our jurisdiction. We have not been able to grow into that jurisdiction. We rush and become casualties. Don't think that God will appear when you are outside your scope of authority. No. Power is static. Authority grows. There are certain prayer I can pray with Elder Prince. When some of you are there, I will not pray them. And as I said, numbers do not affect. That's why, you see, sometimes when we meet at church, we pray certain prayers. We just need two people. Some of the prayer topics that Daddy Joe leads us to pray. It's not for everybody to pray. Oh, he knows those who are forming the caucus over there, who are making a decision. Yeah, just adding to the number. Oh, adding to the number. But when you come up there, you see that your voice was at. So when we say in the name, what we are talking about is that when we meet within the will of God and within the scope of authority, Jesus appears. And whenever Jesus appears, the aftermath is that people never become the same. They become Christ. I pray for you. See, when we come for prayers midnight, what I look out for every day is not about the testimony you come to share, but what you are becoming is what I'm looking at. And I've seen that people are becoming something out of these prayer gatherings. I've seen prayer life of people changing. The authority of people are changing. I can see the impact little by little. I said, we are making progress. See, your visa and those things has not moved me. I'm looking for those testimony. The testimony I'm looking for is the things you used to do. Are you doing them now? If you are leaving them behind, then I know that impact is making. I pray for you that there will be an impact in the name of Jesus. So the first protocol of corporate gathering is that we gather in the name of Jesus. And that gathering must be done according to his will and within the whole scope of authority. Then people gather for prayer meeting. Let me share this. Today I'm just being, let's laugh some more. Elder Prince, you know one of the funny things that happened at UCC? When I was a prayer director, one day I went to one of the field, we call it Amamuma field. Then it's funny. I was there praying for some time. So a church group, I've told you that's all right. A church group came and was praying against another church group over a venue. Ah, did I tell that story? I was there with my friend. And I saw Christian brothers and sisters sweating in prayer, binding their program. So they did that for about 30, 40 minutes and they left. Then the second group was okay. Hey, God, may God deliver you in the name of Jesus. May you not find yourself in those places. Using prayer, I'll get to that point. When the people are trying to use prayer gatherings to score points, they are frustrating their program. I ask myself, which kind of God are we serving? God, Jesus. So when we went for our next prayer meeting, I told my colleagues that this is what is happening on the land. People are praying against, churches are praying against what? A house that is divided shall not stand. You think Jesus will show in that prayer meeting? And that is how many of you have been committed to certain prayer meetings and nothing has happened to your life. We can't see Jesus in your life. You see, anything that you receive that the world, secular world, can also receive. Okay? Are you listening to me? It's not a proof of Christ. It is the resultant effect. It's not the proof. So, in the very words of Prophet Odro, he said, let us not limit God's glory to things what connection men can also do. Recently, I read that post. I said, it's powerful. Prophet Odro, he said, don't limit the glory of God to things that connection men can also do. That's an insult. Now, if your prayer gathering is not about breakthrough, marriage, financial blessing, if you said I'm lying, I'm giving you a research work, Accra. Check most of the posters of the churches. Tell me the prayer meetings, what are the headaches? If it's not signs and wonders, prophetic tokens. You, if you like, try to put a prayer topic that an encounter with Jesus or something that is a, you pray it alone. I said you will pray it alone. Second protocol, time is fast spent. Elder Prince, am I giving an extra 10 minutes? Can I continue? I wish you any day. Can I continue? Oh, church, are you with me? Are you with me? Sometimes you don't like, but these things, I'm helping you. You see, what I'm trying to help you is that before you commit to a corporate gathering and pray, eh? Be sure of what you're committing to. See, I don't like wasting of time. We don't have much time. The Bible said we should be wise, redeeming not the time. Some people have gone to church, a particular church. They have been there for years and there's nothing to say about that. You can't see the difference between them and those who are not born again. And they are committed prayer people. They pray. Prayer transform. Prayer can change. What is happening? Because Jesus didn't appear. He didn't show up. Jesus didn't show up. The principle of agreement. Number two. So the principle of in his name, the number two is the principle of agreement. Amos chapter 3 verse 3. As we have satisfied divine claims of how to make Jesus to appear in corporate gathering, that in his appearance, we know that things will be done. What about us individuals? That is the second, that is the next phase we are going to do. The second protocol. And that is the protocol of what? Agreement. Can two work together? Unless they what? They agree. Some of you want that moment where we do the shouting. We come there, don't worry. We do the shouting. I'll be wrapping up quickly. I can't touch all the points under the principle of agreement because of time factor. So I'll do one and two. The next week, we'll continue with the other ones. Are you with me? Are you being blessed? Are you being taught how to pray? Are you being taught to pray? Hallelujah. Now, the principle of agreement that it says that before we can be together, we must agree. So how do we come together? How do we agree? Number one, there are three things that establish the principle of agreement when it comes to corporate prayer. Number one is oneness of heart. Acts chapter 4 verse 32. Oneness of heart. A quorum of corporate gathering cannot be established if there's no one, the heart is no one. This is dangerous. And the multitude of them that believed were of what? One. Oh, help me, church. Were of what? One heart. In the principle of agreement, for a corporate gathering to reflect the impact of a corporate gathering with regards to prayer, there must be what? One heart. What is the meaning of one heart? It simply means a corporate gathering cannot have diverse kinds of purpose. Oneness of heart therefore refers to the unity and the shared purpose among a group of people. Unity and shared purpose. A corporate gathering cannot constitute if the people there do not have common purpose. Common and shared purpose is what has established what? Oneness of heart. Let me explain further. The idea of a common purpose means that the individual do not only share in one belief, but a community that operates in harmony. And I'm going to talk about harmony. Now, purpose of heart is that we share in what? One belief. And there is what? Harmonious what? Living. One belief. B-E-L-I-E-F. Belief. It means that what I believe should not be different from what he believes if we want to pray together. The singleness of heart. So I can't say that I believe in what? Water to turn into wine. And he said, no, I believe in oil turning into what? Wine. And both of us were going to pray that God should turn a liquid into wine. It will not work. Are we there? Do you get it? So before a corporate gathering can be effective, I'm talking about effective and efficiency. How we can have much impact out of corporate prayer gathering is that there's oneness of heart. And harmony is very important. Now, you see me playing this keyboard, right? Do you know that this keyboard must be in harmony with the one leading the song? In other words, even though we are doing different things at the same time, they all sum up together to what? Produce one or thing. Do you know in the book of Acts chapter 4, it said they lifted up their voice. One. Many people were praying, but the Bible said they what? It was said as what? One voice. If the leader of the choir is singing key F and I play key C, you see that there's what? There's no harmony over here. You yourself, you don't even enjoy it. In other words, when we come before God to pray together, whatever each of us will be doing at that prayer gathering, whatever each of us will be saying, irrespective of the language we may use, irrespective of the declaration we are using, it will work together to form what? One voice. Do we see that in church? One voice. I pray that there will always be a harmony in the name of Jesus. There will always be a harmony in the name of Jesus. How are we united in purpose? Do you know that somebody will come for a prayer meeting? Let me explain this one. And the person is praying because he wants God to disgrace another person for him. Erade, mommy, break through my moon. Says, I can't whom you're referring. Why is another person so praying for the same breakthrough? Not because somebody will be disgraced, but the name of God will be what? Glorified. There's no harmony there. So how can you call someone and say, let's go and pray for into our result, our exams, and all the person is thinking about that he has to pass to disgrace somebody? That corporate prayer gathering, it will not be effective. There must be singleness of purpose. So in as much as I'm crying to break through in that exams, the purpose is that the name of God was glorified. So Peter said that, grant us the spirit of boldness, and that by your name of your son, miracles, signs and wonders will be performed. And because they were with single heart, all of them were expecting miracles to happen so that Jesus would be glorified. Not that they want to show that they are anointed. Harmony. Singleness of purpose. I pray. You see, that's why when you go for prayer meeting, examine. You know these things by how they are talking. Number two. I want to quickly see if I can finish. Okay. Unity in thought is necessary for what? The principle of what? Agreement. Unity in thought. Unity in what? Thought. Now, let me define thought. Or let me tell you what thoughts are powerful. The thought of everyone is governed by observation, teaching, and the kind of association that you belong to. In the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 4 to 5, God was talking about thought. ideas, ideology, perception, things that govern your life, eh? As you sit here, it's as a result of what you have been taught, the people you associate with, and the things you have observed. It is very dangerous to pray with people who don't believe in the teachings you believe. It's dangerous. That, are you with me? The association, do you know that there are some people who don't believe in healing? There are some people, have you ever met people who have issues with Christians being prosperous? Because they think that a true Christian life, holiness, is identifying with poverty. And that's how they have been taught. How do you think that when you call such a person for a prayer meeting to pray for a financial breakthrough, it will work? Are you with me? Are you with me? Singleness of thought. The thought of every person is governed by the association. So the Bible says, he that walk with the wise shall become what? And he that walks with a fool shall suffer. Your corporate prayer is not making impact because of the people you are working with. They believe that if you pray for 30 minutes, everything is fine. Are you with me? So we have the 30-minute association people. There are those who believe that, oh, we can pray small and then we can do our own things more. We can help God. Do you know those people? They have been taught. I don't know where that version and which book that scripture is. So you see that they are in the church. They come for church meeting, but their thought, what is in their head? They call it stronghold. He said, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of what? Strongholds. So strongholds are idea, the thought in the mind. What is in the mind? Singleness of the thought. Can we continue? Casting down imaginations. So the things that they imagine, it is out of the thought. And every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. You can never enjoy the full blessing of corporate prayer if people's ideology does not sync up with your own. They will limit it. That's why we meet for prayer meetings. We do a little teaching to get all of us on board, to reorganize the thought of people. I like what Elder Blaze did at the watch night. He likes doing that. He will spend more time to talk and a few time to pray with you. But I see that sometimes it helps to organize most of your thoughts so that you can align with him. Because now you are all thinking the same, so that the effect of the corporate prayer can be done. Thought. The Bible says in the book of Proverbs chapter 23 verse 7 that as a man thinketh, can you give me that scripture? Hallelujah. Amen. For as he what? Thinketh in his what? Heart. So is he. Think. So if somebody thinks that Christians do not have right to prosper, that is who he is. It will take the breaking of that stronghold for such a person to help you to what? Agree. So you can see that you are praying with people and they are praying with you, but they disagree with you. Do you know that now, pastors, when you organize prayer meetings, eh? What your church members are thinking is that, pastor, you have to organize church prayer meetings that is about breakthrough. Pastor, we didn't come here to come and pray to see God. So whilst pastors have lifted the prayer topic, they are praying their own prayer topics. I've witnessed some before. You don't know, eh? Prayer topics under prayer topics. Whilst he said that, oh, we let us lift up our voice and pray for the nation, the prayer will start and the person is praying for himself. Because he doesn't believe in nothing. It is not part of his thinking. He believes that we have to criticize the government. That is what he's being taught. So all that he's there doing is that as for government, we criticize them, but prayer, we pray for ourselves. Each one for himself. That prayer meeting will be fruitless. Even if Jesus appears, you limit him in your thought. Oh yes, the Bible said we have limited him by their. Well, Jesus said that they limited him by their thought and their religious spirit. You will limit God. So even though the gathering was done in His will, and they are working within the scope of authority, because of singleness of thought, it will devalue the impact. You see why corporate prayer? Now do you agree with me why we meet a lot and pray, but the impact is little? These are the things that affect it. Therefore, unity in prayer or unity in thought is so important, such that Apostle Paul and Peter exhorted the church to be of one mind. To be of one mind. I'll give you the scriptures because of time factor. 2 Corinthians chapter 31, verse 11. You can write it down. Philippians 2, verse 2. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 8. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, 30. Did I say 31? 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 11. Philippians chapter 2, verse 2. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 8. Finally, brethren, farewell. Be perfect. Be of good comfort. Be of what? One mind. In the book of Romans chapter 15, verse 6, Paul said that we can only glory God, or we can only be a means of glory to God, or we can glorify God when we live together in one thought. One mind. Let's look at it. That ye may with one mind and one mouth ought glorify God. So the glory of we can't glorify God when we have different thoughts. We can't glorify God. Church, I want to conclude that corporate prayer is one of the powerful tools I've ever seen. Can you project the book of Acts chapter 16 again, verse 24? And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. Verse 26. And suddenly there was a great earthquake. Church, we have come to that point where people are kept in bands. Oh, Jesus. You see, Jesus is interested to break out in this generation. Yesterday, when I saw the gathering at NSPPD, I something shook me. I said, no. God wants to break bands. There is something that God wants to do in this nation. There is an alignment that God is calling this nation to. And if the church will come together in agreement, if we understand that we can be able to do something through corporate prayer, then something is going to happen. The reason, I don't know, but the reason why God is laying it on some of our hearts to start teaching in this line is because God wants an alignment so that there can be a result. When just two people began to pray, let's look at what the Bible said, and suddenly there was a great earthquake. And what was the target of the earthquake? The Bible said the foundations of the prison were shaken. It is my prayer today that whenever we gather together to pray, we will be able to live up to the standard of corporate prayer. The protocols required said that the foundations of prisons will begin to shake. I don't know whatever prison that is holding you or holding the nation we are in, but I know that a generation is rising, and under the principle of corporate prayer, they will pray and the earth will shake, and the Bible said the prison was shaken and immediately all the doors were open. I tell you that all doors will open in the name of Jesus. Amen. All doors. Not some doors. Sometimes under corporate meeting, you came to pray for the fruit of the womb, but because the protocols were well met, every door of your life will open like that. The Bible said all doors were opened. And what happened? And were up, and everyone's banned. Oh, you see, it was only two people who were praying there, but everybody there benefited from it. We don't need the maturity to prove that God can save all. That is why I am praying that you and I will come to understanding of this principle, so that when we gather together to pray, it is not us alone that will be liberated from that bank, sir. Our family will be liberated. Our course mates will be liberated. And the generation ahead will be liberated. The city will be liberated. Because it took just two people to set an entire prison free. I pray for you in the name of Jesus. Whenever you gather in twos and threes, and you lift up your voice to pray, the impact of that result shall not be limited to only your blessings, but other people will benefit from it. It is time that we come together to begin to pray as a church. We will want to make good use of our Wednesday prayer meetings, our watch night. Anytime we gather together at camp meetings, when we sit together as friends and we lift up our voice, we are believing God that prison foundations will be shaken. It is my prayer that we will see that all doors will open. I pray in the name of Jesus that as we gather together at midnight prayers, as we gather together at prayers night, at the things that will be effective in our life, that all doors and everyone's bank should be loose. Can you rise up to your feet? We will continue with the protocols of corporate prayer meeting. See, when Jesus shows up, I always want Jesus to show up. If you are really, really praying, you always want Jesus to show up. And I'm going to verse out about oh, Rasabrandoko Siata. Today, your prayer is going to be simple. Lord, shall you organize my thoughts? See, that is why when we ask you to go and listen to messages, go and listen to them. Because as much as you do yourself well, you help the corporate body. I would love to be praying with you. But the question is that, will you be on the same scale with me? The impact the church needs to generate is limited because it's only few people who are doing it. I can tell that Alpha Hour can record about 70,000 people, but to be only about 500 people who are in alignment. But the thing is that even two people could set the whole prison free. How much more 500 people? My worry is not because that corporate prayers are not making impact, but the extent to which it should make impact, we are not seeing it. Yes, we are seeing effect of corporate prayer, but the maximum result is not achieved yet. But we are yearning for the best. Life is always about glory to glory. It is my prayer that when we gather to pray, the parliament house will feel our prayer. Oh, you don't believe it? I said, it is time that when we gather to pray, the presidents, the ministers will begin to feel our prayer. Because at night, God will appear to them and let them know that they are messing with the Lord's anointed. It is my prayer that when we gather to pray, seven lifestyle in the city will stop and freeze because Christians have gathered to pray. It is my prayer. See, that is the resultant effect I'm looking for. That when we begin to pray, it will just take 5-6 people who will take note of an happening in a society, in a community, in a town, and say that because I am here, this nonsense will stop. The Bible said because of Samuel, the Philistines could never make war against Israel. I pray that, oh God, we will be that representation. I want you to lift up your voice and begin to pray. Your prayer is simple. Lord, help me to align to the protocols of corporate prayer. Let me not just be part of the numbers. Corporate prayer gathering is meant for people on the same corporate level. It's like the parliament house. If you're not an MP, you cannot be in the chamber. And they have the same thoughts. And therefore, when they meet together, because of that victor power they have, they begin to make impact. Lift up your voice and pray. Lift up your voice and pray. Lift up your voice and pray. Olomoko Shanda Messiah.
Just breathe the name upon me. So glad you stayed. I believe you were blessed. See you some other time. Bye for now.